The following audio is from North Life Church in Fort McMurray, Alberta. More information is available at northlifechurch.ca.
There are many pastors who say they preach the whole counsel of God, but I wonder sometimes. Because the messages I'm going to speak in the next few weeks together, most pastors never touch. They never touch it. Because sometimes the congregation becomes violent. Any violent people here, raise your right hand. Well, just see me after the service, and we'll have it out in the parking lot, okay? Really, over the years, I've become... I look forward to this time of year. For me, personally, I always inspect my life in this area that I'm going to speak about today as the new year begins. Faith without works is what? Dead. Even prayer without obedience doesn't go very high. And when I was a teenager, about 16, somewhere around that, that was about 20 years ago. Maybe more. Yes, more. When I was 16 years old, this topic changed my life. And I began something in my fellowship of Jesus Christ that has transformed me. It's given me tremendous peace, tremendous joy. And it is this area that we're going to deal with. I've entitled the series of sermons, The Almighty and the Dollar. Now, not the Almighty Dollar. Somebody says money is power, and it is. Money is power. But it's not all powerful. And often we think about finances and we think about this part of biblical stewardship. And we get edgier, nervous about it. But I want to remind us today, this matter of the Almighty God and the dollar. I want to remind you that this can be life transformative when we begin to surrender this part of our lives to Christ. I'm all about surrender. I remember when I got converted when I was 9 years old to Christ. I remember the day, I remember the hour. And I got converted to Christ. He saved my soul. And the first, really two thoughts immediately came to me. If this person died on the cross for my sins and went to that extent, he deserves my life. Amen? If he went all the way, why can't I go all the way? And then the other thought came immediately to me as a 9-year-old boy. Not only if he did all of this for me, Lord, here's my life. Tell me what you want. You're in charge. But not only that, he put within me a deep desire to continue to serve him until I see him face to face. Amen? One day we shall stand in his presence. And faith will become sight. The one whom we worshiped and obeyed and loved and talked with constantly. One day, this one whom we have not yet seen, we shall see. So he put in my spirit as a 9-year-old boy, you keep walking until one day you see me face to face. And when I was a teenager, this reality became mine. And it came from me with one word. I don't know if I heard it in church or if I read it or somebody happened to mention it, but this is the word that tweaked in my heart and began to change my life. It was the word tithe. Tithe. T-I-T-H-E. Now, I was 16 and I was not familiar with that word because the church I grew up in was a great church, but they never talked about these things. I don't know why, because Jesus talked more about sharing and giving than heaven, hell, faith, or anything else. He talked about this constantly. And almost all or a heavy portion of his stories, his parables, were money-related, finance-related. I wonder why he spoke so much about giving and sharing and finances. Well, it's because it's a huge part of who we are. We work hour after hour after hour to get reimbursed so that we might live, right? And somebody said this, money, and this challenges me today. Money does have power. Finances do have power. Somebody wrote it this way. Money has the power to corrupt or contribute. Money can be a servant or be a master, right? Money can mold a character or it can make a monster. Money can alleviate humanity's ills or separate us from humanity. Money can humble the human heart with thanksgiving. I see that in many of you. The Bible says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And some of you might be here today and you're still seeking God. You don't know him yet. You've never come to Christ yet. You're not against him. It's just you never came to him yet. But I want to remind you, if you're here without Christ yet, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. God has blessed you. You know, he blesses the righteous and the unrighteous. God is good to all. He sends the rain on the just and unjust. And rain in the Middle East where it's so dry is a good thing. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. God is good. Money has the power to humble the human heart with thanksgiving or embolden the human heart with pride. I've met some very wealthy people who are very humble. And you wouldn't think they really had much of anything because they understand that God is the giver ultimately. Then I've met some with maybe not as much, but somehow because they've gained some finances, they become proud. You see, money has power for good or ill. Can be a great blessing, great gift, or a great curse. The Apostle Paul said, the love of money is the root of all what? Evil. He didn't say money is. It's not the money. It's not the finances. Because in reality, since humanity rose up, there's always been giving and receiving and bartering and finances, always has been. So it's not the money, it's not the finances, but it's the idea of the love of money that can cause a lot of evils to arise. Money can open our hands with generosity or clench our fists with possessiveness. Money can advance the kingdom of God or frustrate the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said. So when I began to think through this matter as a teenager, that day I committed myself to the Lord. Lord, this is another part of stewardship. This is another part of fellowship. Lord, this area of my life I now surrender to you. And I did. And decades later, I will say this, you can never outgive God. He is always faithful. And those who surrender this area of their lives to the Lord know peace and stability and joy. God loves a cheerful giver. And God enriches a cheerful giver. So I want us to begin to think about this month. I'm going to do it again myself. Just to assess my own life in the matter of stewardship. We have time. We have talents and gifts and skills. And we have treasure. And I will especially think about financial treasures and things during this month. But we have time to give to God, 168 hours a week. That's how many hours we have. We have talents, natural abilities that we've been gifted with by God. We were born with them. Then we have supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit that we received when we were born again by the Spirit of God. Yet it is this other that I want to deal with, biblical stewardship of finances. Many years ago, a man and woman, Risa and Al, they took several thousands of dollars out of their bank account. And they gave it to the pastor who started a Christian camp. I love camps. That's why my wife and I really noticed one another. That was 37 years ago. You better not forget how many years. But she is younger than I am, so we grew up in a similar area. However, you know what it's like to notice somebody. Now, she was good looking. She's brilliant. But the thing that I noticed about her, because I had been a pastor for 4 or 5 years as a single pastor, and the thing I noticed about her when we went out on, you couldn't say dates back then because the church wanted to marry me off to everybody. So I didn't let anyone know I was interested. But the great thing about my wife is that, many great things, but she became a great friend. And not only that, I could talk to her about anything and I never heard it back through somebody else. Therefore, she never read a book on becoming a pastor's wife. She wouldn't read any of those books. But she's been a great pastor's wife because she's completely confidential. Beautiful thing. And my wife and I together, as we began to establish our home and our family, this part was to be surrendered to God. Without question. So I would like to just give you a few insights as to where we will be traveling in the next weeks together for this month. Today I want to deal with just briefly this matter of Almighty God is the owner. Is it on the screen yet? It's going up. Almighty God is the owner. Let's say it together. Almighty God is the owner. Now, one thing, if we're going to surrender, you know, biblically, our stewardship of finances and stuff, things, cars, houses, quads, if we're going to surrender these things to God, we need to realize that God is the owner of all. Psalm chapter 50 and verse 12 tells us this. The Lord said, if I were hungry, God says, if I were hungry, anyone listening today, raise your right hand. Anyone shut down already and ticked off? Psalm chapter 50, verse 12, here's what it said. The Lord said, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. Because the world is mine and everything in it. Isn't that interesting? God said, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. Because the world is mine and everything in it is mine. Scripture tells us this, if I can just get the right Bible verse. Psalm 24 and verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. The earth is the Lord's. We are going through in this city, in this province, and because of this city and province, and because of the oil industry, there's a lot of instability right now. Uncertainty. Some of you have lost employment. Some of you are nervous about what tomorrow holds. Some of you have a lot of investments that you're wondering about. We need to pray for one another these days. No one should carry a burden alone. And be open to say to two or three trusted believers, would you pray for me? I'm nervous. And if you have lost employment, let us know. We're a family. We need to be open with each other. And perhaps during our time of discussing how God perceives finances, how the Almighty perceives the dollar, maybe He'll speak some things into our lives that will make us give us stability and peace and even joy in times of instability. He knows what happened. He knows the future. And He knows the changes that need to happen within us to even welcome down times. First Chronicles 29 and verse 16. Everything comes from God. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. Even when we return to the Lord, we are simply giving back what already is His. Because scriptures make very clear that the Lord owns everything. He has planted the diamonds into the earth. He has put the oil there. He has given us the fresh air. He has caused the fresh water. He sends the rain. He sends the snow. He sends the frost. He said, as long as the earth exists, there shall be springtime, summertime, fall time, and winter time. As long as this world exists. Yet we need to be reminded today that He is the owner of all. You might say, well, Pastor Les, I work very hard. That's a good thing. We'll discuss that later on, another week. And some become quite arrogant and say, no, it's not God's, it's mine. I worked for it and I got it. Did you know that the Bible tells us that the breath we breathe is a gift of God? The breath we breathe. Sometimes I challenge people, suck in. I just say, oh, just do that. Right? It's just a reminder that even the breath that we breathe is a gift from God, the Bible says. The ability to live, the ability to work, the ability to know, work with the hands, work with our heads, whatever it takes for you to function in this world. These are gifts of God. And at any given time, He can say, it's finished, and we are gone. Billy Graham said, I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it yet. Because when we go, everything is left behind. Therefore, we need to understand today, and not just hear it in a sermon on Sunday, but begin to be transformed by it, that everything that I have is a gift from God. He's the owner. He's the owner. I rest in that today. I don't shy away from that. I don't wish it were otherwise. I have conformed to that by the goodness of God and the challenges of God in life. You see, if God owns it all, then I am not the owner. I'm the manager. The Bible, some versions of the Bible, instead of saying a manager, uses the word steward, which comes from a Greek word that means keeper of the house. The house is God's, but I'm the keeper of the what? Of the house. God owns it all, but I'm to manage the master's investments. And some of you are going through a difficult time financially. God sees that. He understands that. He's not going to forsake you. Even if it comes to losing a house, don't lose the home. There's a big difference between a house and a home. And sometimes when we go through financial stress, and those are difficult times. They're not fun times. But when we go through financial stress and we lose something, be very close to God. Because even if you lose a house, you keep loving your wife and keep loving your husband and keep loving your children. Don't allow material loss to become a wedge in relationships. Get closer together and not separated because of that which is temporal. Because God owns it all. He understands it all. He loves you. He cares for you. He notices what's happening in your life. If he sees the sparrow fall and he numbers the hairs of our heads, surely Jesus cares about you right now. We're going to talk just about managing, but we're also going to deal with this matter next week, God willing. Almighty God is the owner, therefore we are to manage effectively. But secondly, we'll look at this matter of Almighty God is the provider. He not only owns it, but he what? He provides it for us. Finances. And temporal things. Therefore, we are to receive gratefully. I want to deal next week with this matter of how does God provide? How do we earn it? How does he provide? The Bible talks a lot about how God provides. Then we want to go on and deal with this matter of Almighty God is the financial advisor. He's the ultimate financial advisor. Therefore, we are to listen to him. Listen to God as he advises us in this matter of biblical stewardship, of finances and the things that we have in this world. He's the financial advisor, therefore we are to. So I will speak that week about saving. You know, some people have plans for spending, but they don't have plans for saving. And that's part of biblical stewardship, to save. We'll talk about that together from the Word of God. Then this other matter we'll look at. Almighty God is the controller. Therefore, we are to spend wisely, spending. Somebody said, money talks. You know what it says? Goodbye. Money talks. And mostly it says, goodbye. Well, we need to get a handle on the matter of spending, you see, not only managing and earning and saving, but we need to get a handle on this matter of spending. The Bible says a whole lot about spending. And then we shall wrap it up with Almighty God is the philanthropist. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave the best. He gave the most. He's a great giver. He has given us salvation as a free gift by the sacrifice of his son on the cross. Our greatest possession is Jesus Christ, whom we have received by faith in the grace of God. If we lose everything else, we still retain the best. Because I'm saved. I know Christ. And he's taken me to heaven one day. Salvation is free. But it's not cheap. It cost him his life. We cannot purchase our way to heaven. It's been already purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yet we can invest in eternal realities. We need to learn to do that. So we shall speak about he's the philanthropist. Therefore, we are to give generously. So therefore, this is the subject that has transformed my life over the years. I'm going to tell you the story very quickly of Luke chapter 16. And I really encourage you to go home and read it. Before sundown. I notice up here in the north, the sun comes up at 9, goes down at 4. I love it, by the way. I love it up here. My wife emailed me this morning and said, well, we talk in email all the time. But she said, you belong there. We belong there. We'll see this through by the grace of God. We've been called here. And the vote was excellent, by the way. Thank you for voting. And those who said no, thank you for saying no. So if I want out, I can go out. Thank you for not voting me in. I win both ways. Doesn't make any difference. But the sun comes up at 9 and down at 4 or so here. Kind of makes life cozy in the wintertime, doesn't it? This matter of being a manager. Luke 16, read it before sundown today. Jesus had just told the story. Anyone still listening? Two fell asleep already. Anyone still listening? Jesus told the story in Luke chapter 16. After he told the story, but remember the lost sheep? 99 were left and one was lost. Remember that? The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. So Jesus just told about his compassion. He will seek a lost sheep until that sheep is found. The Son of God came to seek and to save the what? The lost. This church this year wants to see many come to Christ. Amen? We need the investment of time, of talent, and treasure. Because Jesus seeks the lost and brings them to himself. He just told that story. Then he told the story about the coin, one coin that was lost. And the lady in the house, she looked everywhere. She looked everywhere until she finally found the coin. Because it was part of her wedding attire. So she found it. It was worth looking for. Every soul without Christ in this city is worth looking for. And in the village of Anzac. By the way, we are joining together much more with Anzac. We encourage you this year to visit that church. Or take a few months and go there instead of here. Or tell people in that area, go there. It's going to become one church in two locations. This message will be broadcast down there next week. Because we want to reach this area for Christ. And after he talked about the lost son, the lost coin, and the lost sheep, the Pharisees, the religious people who did not believe in Jesus, they were very uncomfortable. They were thinking, you mean you're telling us that we're lost? And Jesus said, yes. You see, religion doesn't cut it, but relationship does. Going to church will not make you a Christian. It's going to Christ that makes you a Christian. So they were edgy. Anyway, the religious leaders were edgy. They were envious of his messages. They were getting bothered. Then he told another story. It's almost like he said, well, it's not over yet. I'm going to tell you one more story. And this story was about this rich man who had a manager. This man was very wealthy. He had a great estate. He had companies. You know, he was a big dude. And he had a manager. And this manager, this steward, was to take care of the rich man's possessions. And something began to happen. As money began to go through the hands of the manager, he forgot that he did not own it. That it was somebody else's. And he was simply hired to manage what belonged to somebody else. And he forgot that, you see, because money, if it begins to possess us, it'll take us down. It'll definitely take us from God. So he began to squander the money. He pilfered the rich man's possessions. The exchange was so powerful in Luke chapter 16. It was like a strong argument between the owner and his hired manager. And there was a very intense conversation. I hear that you've been pilfering, stealing, embezzling my money. Well, the manager's in a predicament now. Because the owner said, let me just say it this way, bring your final report because I'm going to fire you. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that encouraging? Bring the final account. I want the paperwork. I'm going to fire you. Now this dishonest, embezzling manager who lost his way, he thinks, what am I going to do? Because he said, I'm too old to dig ditches, and I'm too proud to beg. And he came up with an idea. I love the idea, by the way. It's very strange. But he decided, I've got to give a final report to this master. And so he went out and began to contact everybody that owed his owners, owed the money. So he went to one and he said this. He said, how much do you owe my employer? The guy said, 800 gallons of olive oil. The manager said, take the bill and change it to 400. Now, that's quite a deal, isn't it? If you owe somebody 800 gallons of olive oil. And he says, quick, write 400 there. Well, that's quite a deal. It's a deal. You see, because this owner might never receive any of it. He's going to get at least 80 cents on the dollar by the time this is over. Then he went to the other person. He said, how much do you owe? He said, I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat. He said, here, the manager said, here's the bill. Change it to 800 bushels. And they were paying back the master, paying back the owner, paying back, not quite everything, but a good chunk of it. And you know what the manager was thinking? I'm going to be fired. I've got to have some friends when this is over. And by the way, you know what happened? He went to all these people that owed his former employer. And he made friends of many of them. And by the way, there's no record he was rehired. He probably was fired. But the owner of all of this, the employer, he said an interesting thing. Jesus is telling this story. The rich man had to admire the dishonor. This version says, the rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. Then Jesus said this. He said, it is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than the children of light. Let me say it just in my language today. Those who do not know Christ, who do not attend church, are often smarter about money than Christians are. And it ought not to be so. We ought to know what's coming in and what's going out. We ought to know the state of our finances. We ought to know why we're making decisions that we are making. We ought to be very intelligent about finances. And husband, if you're not the best one to deal with the money, let your wife deal with it. She might stop the ship from sinking. But Jesus said, we need to become wise about these things. Yes, they are temporal, but they can affect eternity. Yes, they are finances and things, but it can affect who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. And then he said a very interesting thing. He said, if you are faithful in little things, you might say, I don't have much, you don't need much. You can honor God with a little. And he said here, Jesus said, if you can't handle a little, honor me with that. Why should you have more? I wonder, don't you, why periodically there are downturns everywhere? When will we learn that he's the owner and we're the manager? Then he said, if you are trustworthy about worldly wealth, untrustworthy about worldly wealth, how can we trust you with the true riches of heaven? Then a very interesting thing. No one can serve two masters. You will hate the one and love the other. You cannot be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. We can serve God with money, but not God and money. We choose. The Pharisees, these religious guys, it says here, right here, Luke 16. The Pharisees who dearly love their money, dearly love their money. The Pharisees who dearly loved their money heard all this and scoffed at him, scoffed at Jesus. He said, you like to appear righteous in public, but God knows your hearts. And then he said this, what this world honors is detestable in the sight of God. What is the message today as we begin to, you know, work through as individuals and family and as a church? As we begin to work through this matter of stewardship. He owns it. We manage it. What kind of managers are we? As we wrestle through this, one of the most beautiful conclusions Jesus came with telling this story about finances. I didn't tell it. He told it. He said, if you use money to make friends, when the money ends, you'll have friends. Isn't that interesting? If you use the money to make friends, when the money ends, you'll at least have friends. And then he took it a whole other level. He just lifted it. Jesus just lifted it right out of time into eternity. And he said this. He said, if you will invest in those treasures that are in heaven, rust can't destroy it. Moths cannot destroy it. Downturns or upturns, they can't affect it. You know why? Oh, how can I say it? It's because investment now affects then. How we use finances here and now will affect eternity. And some of you are so faithful in giving, and this area has long since been surrendered to Christ. And one day, there will be many welcome you into heaven. Remember the song? Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a child of God because of your investment. I conclude with this, oh my dear Lord, I'm over time. Oh, Lord, we have communion, which is beautiful. Children's workers, forgive me. This gentleman who is a pastor, he said a number of years ago, I was teaching a seminar on what the Bible teaches about finances to Christians in Eastern Europe. I've also done that in several Eastern Europe countries. After the teaching session, one of the people came to me and told me how much the teaching helped everyone there. And this is what this person said. He said, during the 70 years of communism in our country, people were told that the communistic government owns everything, and the government will take care of you. 70 years. The government owns it, we'll take care of you. And he said, then once communism fell, he said, Americans came and they said capitalism was the way to go, where people own everything and you're to take care of yourself. People own it. Take care of yourself. Well, listen to this. But then this gentleman said, today I've learned the best news of all. God owns everything. And he is our provider. Ooh, good, huh? God owns everything. He is our provider. He learned people must be faithful and generous with whatever God gives to them. The message today is this. We have an awesome privilege to manage whatever God has entrusted to us, be it little or be it much. And let us become faithful, committed managers of what the Lord has entrusted to us. So together we shall learn more about managing and earning and saving, spending and giving. And I'm praying that this will be fresh and new for us as we enter this new year together. And all God's people said,